Hello, and welcome to the Modern Maker Podcast for Thursday, November 14th, 2019, otherwise known as International Rockler Bentwood Challenge Wrap-Up Day!
Bentwood! All right.
We're so excited.
Okay, I'll stop now.
That was pretty good. That was a good intro, and if there's any day that all the fanfare is worthwhile, it's today.
It's today. Today's the day.
A good intro to a great challenge.
That's right.
We should just hop right into it, right?
Yeah, all right.
Should we remind people what the challenge was? They remember.
Go ahead, Chris. You got this.
It all kicked off a scant, I don't know, 8 weeks ago, probably.
Yeah.
This was a long one. We had a lot of entries. I don't even know how many, but like over 1,300 hashtag used, lots of videos, lots of very cool projects. It's a shame that we can't talk about them all here, but we would be here until like next Thanksgiving if we tried to do that.
Which, can we go ahead and say thanks to everybody listening? I remember when we did the 2x4 challenge, we only had enough submissions that we were able to kind of give everybody a minute of, you know, shout outs. We were able to focus on everybody that submitted a project. We talked about their project for a minute or two and kind of went to the next one and gave everybody some love. And then I remember when we did the 2x4 challenge, or I'm sorry, the single sheet of plywood challenge, we had to kind of break it up to where we had a bunch of honorable mentions, but then we're only able to focus on a few key projects. And then this year we had so many entries that we're going to be doing a top 10 roundup of our favorite projects this episode, right?
That's right. Yeah. So we're going to be doing top 10 in no particular order, maybe a few honorable mentions if there was like some circumstance that it couldn't be in the top 10, but we really liked it. But then we will announce the top three in order.
That's right. So we're going to be doing the top seven, or maybe we're going to be doing number 10 through three, those seven in no particular order.
Four, I guess. Technically.
In fact, we made a list in no particular order, and then we randomized that list. That way we were extra sure that it was in no particular order.
And then we translated that to Romanian and then back into English.
And somehow it came out with different videos or what?
Yep. It's all kinds of weird stuff came out.
But anyways, I say all this to say, thank you guys so much. It would literally be impossible for us to highlight every single project, which just goes to show how awesome the community that we've been able to kind of build around all of this is. So thank you guys wholeheartedly. And, you know, we really wish we could highlight everybody, because anybody that took time to do something for this challenge, just know if we weren't able to highlight it during this podcast episode, we appreciate it so greatly. And it was so awesome that everybody contributed.
That, and also thank you to Rockler for sponsoring this and giving us some nice prizes to be able to give away. Just a reminder of what those were. So it's going to be the third place person is going to get a $125 gift card. Beow. Second place is $250 gift card. Beow. And first place is $500 a gift card.
Beow. Those are some awesome prizes, but definitely not commensurate with the amount of work that went into it.
Probably not.
That's true.
But
yes.
What's really awesome is that we now have this incredible library of really amazing ways to bend wood. I think this is like a community research project that is just incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Most def. So should we just hop right in?
Let's do it. Yeah.
We don't need to talk about what we're doing.
No.
What we're doing is counting down the top 10 in no particular order. Here we go. All right. So at number 10 through 4-ish, somewhere in there.
Yep.
The first one we will mention. Actually, okay. Yes. We'll save honorable mentions for later.
Yeah.
Okay. Weber Workshop with the bar cart.
Boom.
And I think we talked about this one during the, you know, while the challenge was going on, because he got in pretty early. He made like a 3-part video about his project.
Yeah.
Incorporated multiple ways to bend wood. And I think I talked about this and I said what I liked about the video was he did it in a sort of, there was a sort of like diary element to it of like figuring things out as he went along. Like, you know, you could tell he went in with a plan, but was not 100% sure exactly how he was going to execute it.
Yep.
And I think probably a lot of people did that for this project in particular, because it was a first shot for a lot of us. I know for all three of us, it was, you know, kind of like a first foray into this sort of thing. So I think it probably resonated with a lot of people, or it kind of like is a stand-in for what a lot of people were doing.
No doubt. And for not really having experience bending wood, to sort of go all in with a project this size and to have so many curves that all had to meet up together. Dude, shout out. Just think, like, this cart, I don't know how many total curves it has within it, but let's just say a dozen
A billion.
Well, all of those had to merge together at points. You know, that means that right. if one corner messed up, it would throw everything else off. So the fact that he was able to bring it all together, watching his learning experience was really cool. He documented it on Instagram incredibly well at Weber Workshop. And yeah, I couldn't be more pumped about it.
Yeah, really incredible project. Every part of it was bent wood except for the little wheels. You know, next time, you know, try to bend some wheels.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Could have been a top three.
just a fantastic project. And again, I think what's impressive with all of these things, and we didn't call it the bent lamination challenge, but is just the thinness and design that people were able to achieve and still keep things pretty strong and sturdy.
Oh yeah.
That those like thin layers all built up and glued together. It really changes the dimensions of woodworking.
Absolutely. And once again, no particular order.
Yeah. Also a nice mustache.
Yo, I feel like he had a mustache, a goatee. He had like different facial hair throughout the whole thing.
The hell of a build.
But awesome. Yeah. And the cool part about it is, you know, I wasn't following him on Instagram prior to the challenge, but I totally got hooked on his stories as he was building this out. So I got a really cool Instagram follow out of the whole thing as well.
There you go.
Awesome.
Good times. All right. Next up on the list, we have workshop edits with a coffee table. That's not very descriptive. And by the way, we will post. Yeah. Let me say this before. We will post all of these on our Instagram account. That'll be up as this podcast is live. So you can scroll through. I'll put them up in the order that we say them. And then with, you know, 3, 2, 1 at the end.
That's right. At Modern Maker Podcast.
Right. So this coffee table, for those of you who love a terrible description that I'm about to give, it's kind of, I would describe it as he took, like, made like a form for what would be like a slab and then poured epoxy in it and has a bunch of bent strips, like I think he did steam bent strips that are inlaid in it. So in a way it's kind of weird because it's like a slab shape, but then it also kind of looks like a tree that has like roots going into the ground and like they're starting to spread where the sort of crotch of the slab is.
What I really liked about this is that he was taking a popular concept of mixing resin and wood, and while most people are doing it with, you know, live edge stuff at the river table thing, he's doing it in a way where you could actually not have particularly remarkable pieces of wood. You could basically create your own organic right. geometry with a technique rather than relying on just finding that perfect slab. So I think it's just a really nice project.
Yeah, I agree. It was really cool seeing his whole steam bending process. The jig that he made to bend all those strips were actually made out of what looked like inline roller skate wheels.
Mm.
So he made this sort of like really cool contraption that he was able to bend all of those thin strips with. So everything was sort of like bent by eye. It was kind of artistic in the way that he did it. Not to mention, you know, he did woodworking, epoxy, and then welding and metalworking on the base for a really cool steel coffee table base. So I think this one was really, really awesome. And I really love black colored epoxy. I think that's a little underused, or maybe I just don't see it enough. But compared to some fluorescent kind of bright green or some kind of crazy, you know, neon pink like epoxy, it's a little bit less in your face. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, it really makes the wood pop.
Like the blue and the green is like the most used epoxy color. And I guess that's because of like the glass that was river tables and like it kind of stems from that.
Yeah.
A lot of the things. So people really latched onto those teal colors like it's the early 90s all over again.
Yeah, but it is really cool. He basically made a slab. Or what looks to be a slab with a crotch, but
yeah, slab shape.
It's awesome. Yeah.
All right. Next up. Speaking of that color that we kind of talked about, this guy's name kind of sounds like Cyan, but I believe it's Cryan Workshop.
I don't think that's right either, Chris.
What is it then? It's a good segue. Come on.
Yeah, it is C. Ryan Workshop.
Ow, I call him Cryan.
Well,
Workshop. Quit your crying, Mike.
Imagine he's hearing that for the first time on the episode. Like, oh, dang, I overlooked that. I had no idea. It looks like I have Cryan Workshop as my handle.
He's like, thanks a lot, Four Eyes.
Yeah.
Furniture.
Exactly. But what do you guys think about this project?
Yeah, so he made a desk. This was really nice because it was like just a really elegant piece of furniture where like the when you look at it, the first thing you don't even think is necessarily, oh, bent wood.
Right.
Yeah.
It sort of reminded
me
of like a hobbit hole, like the way the drawer is.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Who knows what's in there?
And within that curve, he did so many kerfs. Like they're packed so tightly together that the outside veneer of it doesn't have that sort of geometric shape where you can sort of see where the kerfs are, even though you can't really see the cut.
You got a nice smooth radius.
Yeah, he put them together so closely that curve is It's the curves are almost unnoticeable, so that's really cool. Oh, and I should mention, if you do want to watch the YouTube video, search Chris Ryan's Workshop. That's his full YouTube username.
It's a good name. Good first. Actually, it's Chris. Too many of us.
Is that the problem? Damn of us. Too much.
Although, yeah, I shouldn't be complaining to you, right, Mike?
Man, I'll tell you what.
It's a tough life, right?
Yeah. With those kind of curve cuts, it can be kind of difficult because you can get that faceted look. I found that even with the bent lamination chair that I did, is that if you look really close, you see that faceting, and the smoother the veneer is, the more that kind of shows in the right lighting. So it's pretty impressive how unfaceted it looks.
That's, yeah, for sure. And also the base is, I would say, like, you know, somewhat in the vein of the type of stuff that I like to do. It's got that, like, it's juxtaposed the top with a very angular and geometric base,
yeah,
which is nice. Like, the two look good together. And then, like, little touches, like the way that he did the handle, which also has a nice arc to it and kind of just, I don't know, draws in on the whole thing. It's got a nice soft, curvy, yet somehow angular look to it.
Right.
Which sounds like hypocritical, but it works when you see it.
Sounds like hoopla. Oh, and just to kind of put the finishing touch on everything, he bent wood to make the handle for the drawer as well.
Yes.
So, way to go all the way. And yeah, I agree. It was an awesome project. It blends that sort of, like, kind of little mid-century base, but still having that rounded drawer is really cool.
All right. Going on to the next one, we have KSB Designs, and he did a chair.
Fancy.
This was pretty cool. Yes, fancy. Fancy. It's cool because, like, this is a style. I don't even know what to say. Like, I've built a chair that looks kind of like this before, and I've seen other people build chairs like this before. And it's actually, kind of going back to what I was just saying with the last project, it's normally a super angular, lots of straight line type chairs. And so, like, if you look at the piece from the side, you know, just like a total profile shot, depending on, you know, how close you were to it, you probably wouldn't see any of the curvature. The only place that, like, the curvature is really introduced is in the backrest and the seat rest,
yeah,
where you would want it.
Right.
So it has, again, like, a nice mix of, like, and probably even more so than the last one, where from the one view, it's just completely angular and geometric looking. And then from the front view, the opposite is.
Yeah, I love this design for that type of contrast, where he gets a lot of mileage out of the few curved pieces by contradicting them or countering them with the very square side frames. And then I thought the dowels for the supports is also a nice touch. It also seems to be adjustable too.
Right. Yeah. And you said what I was going to point out is all those dowels. That was something that it's a little understated because everything else in the project sort of smacks you first. You get to, you see the profile of it. Then you see the fact that it's all, you know, bent wood. The dowels are sort of like the fourth or fifth thing that you notice, but he weaved them in so nicely. And even though they are high contrast dowels, it looks super clean. I really like it a lot because, you know, the dowels are something that I've been using a lot lately, and seeing him use them so well was really inspiring.
Correction, it's not adjustable. It appears to be, but isn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one sort of slot in the base sort of threw me off a little bit, but
yeah,
it was it's interesting. There's like it's an interesting project in contrast to the first one we mentioned for Weber Workshop, where that one, you know, he took the idea of the competition for the bent wood, and the whole project is bent. This one used it as sort of the. Literally the centerpiece of the design is the two curved pieces in this sort of a matrix of more orthogonal woodworking.
Right.
Yeah, I found myself actually gravitating towards a few projects that did that same thing just because I think they came off as subtle. And I tend to like subtle things where, like, I think when people are actually making furniture, like if you weren't doing it for a challenge, this tends to be the road that you go more. It's like, oh, this piece should be curved. That doesn't mean that everything needs to be curved. And those are the things that kind of stuck out to me. I know. So, like, on our projects, mine was like literally 50% curved, 50% straight.
Yeah.
Ben's, yours was pretty much like the whole thing was curves.
Yeah. Mine was curved base, glass top.
Right. Can't really curve that glass. But yeah, I think that even all three of us, so like even mine, if I was saying 50-50, like the focal point was clearly a curved part of it. So we all kind of like did that more obvious thing too. So I liked seeing the more like subtle entries that people had.
Oh yeah. And I was watching the video and he mentioned he's an architect as well, Ben. So shout out. He's in the club.
Sweet.
The architect turned woodworker club.
It's probably a pretty good heavy slice on the Venn diagram of crossover, I would assume.
Yeah, I would imagine. You're right.
not too far.
Oh, and really quickly, just because his kind of handle is a little bit tough to phonetically figure out, it is K-A-Z-E-B-E-E design. K-Z-B design.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, what do we got next?
Next up.
In no particular order.
In no particular order. Emora 789, and he did a crib.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. Someone else talk about this one, because I think I remember only seeing like one Instagram post on it. So maybe you guys know more.
Right. So I've never seen this guy's work before. From a degree of difficulty standpoint, Chris, you'll probably know a little bit better. This, I think, might be the most difficult project that was attempted. And
I would, yeah, just from looking at it, it looks like it. Like, this thing is mind-boggling to look at.
It's insane. It's this, like, it's a crib, but it has the articulation of a chandelier or, like, the spokes on a wheel. It is almost like a half-sphere cup all made out of bent pieces, and then there's some, like, hand-carved details added on top.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, it's one of those ones, so I talked about this while the competition was going on, that I noticed some accounts kind of like spamming the hashtag, and there were things that were clearly made before the challenge. And I'm not necessarily against that. Like, it's still things that people built, and the more the attention that can be drawn to it, the better. I don't even know if this was the case, but it's just like so awesome that part of me assumes like he couldn't have done this for our competition. Like,
it's just too good.
It's too good.
Yeah, that exactly. was my first reaction.
It's almost too good. Like, there's so much detail in it. And like the way that I don't even know how many like little slats and spaces there are. There's probably like 40 of them or whatever. And like everything looks perfectly even and came out to a circle. Even the base is like super delicate. And you almost didn't even notice that, because everything that's going on top is so impressive that like some of those little things you're like, oh, and by the way, I hand carved these like bird looking things that go on the end, and that took 6
right,
hours.
And to think a baby's right, yeah. going to puke
on that. And that's just
that.
Something that's just a little aside. Oh, and by the way.
Oh, I made that baby that goes on the inside, and that took 9 months.
It was his great niece.
It's a bent baby.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well,
so get out of here, Chris.
Sorry about that. I just assumed.
Well, you know what? But assuming
yeah, it
does.
Is, yeah, it does. It makes you look like a fool on a podcast.
That's right.
But it is like, yeah, there. You could easily make the case that this is number one if you wanted to. It's very, very, very impressive piece of furniture.
You guys hit it. You hit the nail on the head. I was honestly blown away by it. And
Mike was speechless.
Well, the problem is I don't really have the vocabulary to describe it very well, or even to say what I like about it, other than it looks really complicated, and there's not a chance in the world that I would be able to make that right now, you know? And so shout out one more time. Can we give the handle out one more time?
E Morris.
So the letter E and then Morris.
Yeah. M-O-R-R-I-S. 789.
789.
789.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last three numbers before you get to.
Great. Awesome. Well, we're burning through these. Man, maybe we should have done top 12 or 15.
Well, we still have some honorable mentions that we can talk about before we do our top 3.
That's a good point. All right, let's keep it rolling then.
All right. Next up, we got XYZ Create with the guitar that he built.
That's right. Now, do you guys know if this is a style of guitar already, or if it's a common one? Because I know he used an existing guitar body to sort of base the design off of. He did a little bit of alterations to make the wood bend easier.
Yeah.
It was a Jackson.
Let me, you know, here, while you're talking, I'm going to do some Googling, because I feel like it is the, like, roughly the shape of a body that I've seen before, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay. The general idea of the project is he took the body of a guitar, and like I said, sort of traced the outline to create the template to build around. He made some alterations so that where there was bends that were a little too sharp or a little bit weird, he made it to where it would work right. And so he basically bent wood to create the outer profile of a guitar in the shape we're talking about. But it's completely void in the middle, except for a strip of wood. It's almost like as if it was a through neck.
Yeah, it's like they make, I don't know what these things are called, like maybe like a backpack guitar or something, but they make these like little guitars that are just straight that, you know, you would take camping with you or something like that if you didn't want to take a big guitar and you were lugging it around with you. So it almost looks like that, but then with the shape of the perimeter of a guitar body going around it.
Exactly.
And so I got lucky. It was actually like the first thing that I guessed it was. So it's not exactly, but a Gibson Explorer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's like roughly the shape that it is. It looks like. So I'm not sure exactly how he made it, like if he was just like kind of inspired by that design, because it doesn't look exactly the same. There's just like, it actually, his is a little bit more curvy looking, like the Explorer, especially like the part where I don't know the technical name of it, but like the little cutout that they put on the body of an electrical guitar so that you can play really high on the neck.
Yep. The cutout.
Doing some sweet solos.
Let's call it that.
Boom. The body cutout. Yeah, like that part looks a little bit more curvy and accentuated than an Explorer looks. But yeah, this is a really crazy build. Like it's hard not to...
I can see you in our Google Hangout and you're just like kind of staring at it, trying to come up with words.
Shaking my head.
It looks great.
Yeah. And like the way that he did like the volume knob, how it's on a piece of plexiglass.
Right.
So it's kind of floating in space where there's just a hollow section of the guitar. The choice to do the perimeter of the guitar in plywood.
Yep.
Where like, you know, you could have not bent that and like just done, you could have done curve cuts. You could have like, they're subtle enough that you literally could have just like cut a curve into a thick piece of wood, but like I don't know, it's just something about it being plywood just adds an extra element.
It's rare when a design move is that bold that it also looks so balanced and subtle. Like it doesn't look like a gimmicky guitar. It looks like something that's meant to be, but then at the same time you're blown away by how different it is.
Right, because it's sort of the shape of what you would kind of think of as like a metal guitar, you know?
Yeah.
Like a heavy metal guitar.
But it has the feel of an acoustic.
But there's something about it, exactly. Yeah. Like it feels warm and like some reason, because it's out of the wood that it is, it looks almost soft.
Aren't there like a sort of an inlay edge on some acoustic guitars? Isn't that really common? That around like the border of like the front face that there is that. So that's, I think, what was sort of reminding me. It's like almost speaking to that kind of like graphic element of like marquetry or whatever it is on that perimeter.
Right.
So it's like something seems familiar, but translated to an electric and then translated to like a positive negative space.
Yeah. And it played and sounded really, really nice also. So especially on the projects that are sort of important that they function well, you know, some furniture pieces need to function well. A guitar obviously needs to function well. And this one sounded great. It looked like it played really, really well. And I thought it was a killer video. It was really awesome.
Yeah, very impressive project.
One more shout out.
XYZ Create. That's all one word.
Boom.
There you have it. All right. Next up in the top 10 in no particular order is create_custom_design That's plural. Fusion table.
Ooh, the fusion table.
The fusion table. So this one I actually didn't see on Instagram. I saw the YouTube video.
It's crushing on YouTube. It's like over 400,000 views.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's doing really, really well, which is awesome to see. And I guess the reason it's called the fusion table is he took the idea of the Bentwood Challenge and sort of took that concept in a bunch of different materials and different techniques. He bent, obviously, wood on the coffee table top, but he made a bent concrete form to have a bent concrete base. He had to bend the rebar that went inside of that concrete. And then on top of that, he had, you know, he basically made a concrete dovetail for the concrete base to marry with the wooden top. And that was sort of the detail that took it over the edge for me. I really liked having the curved concrete for the base. But once I saw that detail on how they all came together, I was just like, okay, this one's done for me. This is killer. This is next level.
Yeah, I would say that that's actually my favorite detail on the piece is the sort of like dovetail concrete and the way that he made it match up with that like little curve. I think he just maybe chiseled it away like at an angle to kind of like blend the two together. So it's not just a perfect straight line. It actually like gets the wood gets kind of thicker and beefier where it melds to the concrete dovetail.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a very impressive project. I enjoyed watching the video because when I first just saw the image of it, I was very curious about the sequence of events that led to all those things fitting.
Oh, yeah. I get what you mean. It's like, what do you do first so that you don't mess up the next step on another aspect of it?
Exactly. Like,
Do you guys think if Modustrial Maker was judging this competition, it would have got number one?
No LED lights. Concrete.
Oh, that's true. No LED lights.
And he would have
immediately disqualified.
Now, did he use GFRC? Because I remember he showed the process of how he mixed all the concrete, and it was really watery. Whenever I was watching it, I was surprised at sort of like just how smooth and viscous it was. So I'm curious, because I don't remember off the top of my head whether he used like a normal concrete that he was mixing or if it was GFRC.
I don't know. I mean, it does look pretty smooth.
Whatever case, it was not, doesn't look like totally off the shelf. I think he's based in Germany.
Ah, okay. Cool.
Yeah, and it looks like, actually, if you look at the Instagram pictures, like, if you look at, so all of the concrete looks really smooth, but then if you look at the underside, which I'm not 100% sure that's another piece of concrete, Okay. Is that what it is?
Nice.
Yeah, it's got it's a lot more like textured on the underside. All right. So now we're ready for our top three already.
Oh, but wait, before we move on, there was one other point about this project. How does this have the YouTube channel Create?
He must have got in early.
He must have got in really early, right?
Right on the ground floor.
It's a real solid channel. He's got some great projects. I've seen a few of his other videos before. It's good.
Yeah, and there's
who's got just like build.
Exactly.
They're just squatting on it right now.
Right. And there's something to having a project where the concrete is not an easy concrete project, right? We can both agree on that.
Correct.
Yet the concrete still has some air bubbles in it on the finished surface. And I love that. That's my favorite looking concrete. Whenever I pour concrete, I purposefully sort of stop myself a little bit early when I'm vibrating out the air bubbles because I like that look a lot. And anyways, I think it's just really cool to see something done so well that still has that look visually, because a lot of people just spend all day vibrating out concrete because they don't want that, or they'll do some sort of slurry coat to make sure and fill all of those air bubbles after the original casting. But he sort of embraced it and went all the way with it. I loved it, and yeah, I really appreciate that he decided to do that. It looks awesome.
So should we do some honorable mentions before we get into the top three?
I think so. Yeah, there was a few projects that we each wanted to be in the top 10, but not everybody agreed on. You know what I mean? And so
our top 10 was looking more like top 20.
It really was. Yeah. So let's go ahead. Chris, you mind going first?
Sure. Yeah, I got a couple, but I'll just start with one and then we can kind of go around. So the first one was the headlamp.
Oh,
which is basically
it looks like the Escher drawing.
So it's full_steam_designs. And he made a YouTube video for it as well. He basically, from what I remember from the video, it's been a while since I've seen it, but he used a CNC to cut layers out to make like a mannequin head, essentially. And then bent wood around it so that there's like 20 layers going up that when you stack them all, it creates a human head, and then it's all hollowed out and he's got a light inside of it. And it's just such a crazy project, but well executed. And like, there's no way you couldn't notice this thing if you were to walk into a room. If that was your goal, was to draw some eyeballs to a relatively small piece of furniture. It's about the size of a head, I suppose.
Roughly.
Yeah. He's done an exceptional job in doing that.
Yeah. What did you think, Ben? Because it's kind of funny. I saw that project and I was like, oh, someone made a mannequin head by bending wood. I didn't realize until you guys had brought it up a few weeks back that it was reminiscent of Escher art.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it. I just liked it, seeing it as a wood modeling tutorial, right? Like it's funny. There's sort of an opportunistic design quality to it where he saw the drawing. I don't know if he did see the drawing or not, but I would assume so, where he sees the drawing and then like, ah, wood comes in strips. I want to do a bent wood challenge. I could imagine all of those pieces coming together.
You know what else I'll say? This thing will always live an interesting life. Like certain pieces of furniture, like, you know, it'll get thrown away someday or whatever. When somebody, you know, this gets passed down through the family or whatever, when somebody doesn't want this thing someday, like it's going to be the first thing to go in a garage sale and it's going to end up in like some weird eclectic place. Like it's got a bright future for being a lamp. All right.
I got one.
Who else has an honorable mention?
It's by PLA Concept out of San Diego, California, apparently. Whoa, and he made a really cool chess set. Really simple, very minimal, but it just looks really cool. And it's a great use. I mean, I've seen people make like checkerboards and stuff like that in a variety of different ways, but it's so cool to sort of go away from basic orthogonal for making the pieces. And yeah, it's just like he wrapped veneers over, it looks like white epoxy.
What was his name again?
PLA Concept.
Okay. Well, it's probably not epoxy, right? It would be a PLA plastic, right? I'm just assuming off of his Instagram. Like maybe they're 3D printed, or maybe he 3D printed to create the initial mold. I'm curious.
I don't know if the PLA is actually supposed to be a concept, but I felt if I said PLA, people would still want me to spell it.
Oh,
PLA Concept.
Well, I did a little Googling because I didn't want to be the guy that just threw out questions. Actually, I would recommend going to placoncept.com to all the listeners, because these chess sets and checker sets that I mentioned, they actually have them available for sale. And for how cool they are, they're definitely reasonably priced.
Cool.
And on their bio, it says, what is PLA? Well, it's a material we use to make our prototypes from. Even though the majority of the products we made are from strong and durable resin, they all start with PLA.
I like it.
So that's awesome. Yeah, I love that idea. It's really cool the way they brought in the... Their whole naming is really awesome, right?
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I am not smart enough to play chess, but I see they also make a checkerboard, and that's
Chris,
more my speed.
Do you
right
seriously
there.
Not know how to play chess?
I think I know how the pieces move.
You're
let
the
me tell,
weirdest
let me break
guy,
it down
Chris.
For you.
Because
let me break
no,
it down.
We agree with that.
You're like the strangest guy, Chris. Because yes. of anyone I would expect to know how to play chess, it would be you,
chess master. No, I know that the horse can make like an L shape.
Yeah,
I know that the castle can go in a straight line.
You mean a rook?
Sure. The bishop can go at an angle.
Yep.
The queen can go anywhere, full stop, till she
can't
runs
in
into
an L.
End. Any kind of straight, we can't go in any straight line until she wants to stop. The pawns just go one step
all right.
forward.
This has been chess rules
attack,
with Chris Salamone.
They can go
you're
at
welcome.
An angle. They can also go two spaces.
Chris, you do
off
know
the
how to play chess. You just say you're bad at it.
Right. I just know what the pieces move.
You just got to say you're bad at chess because you know how all the. It's that's like saying. I know
I
all
know
the rules of Connect Four, but I don't know how to play.
No way. It's like saying, I don't know how to play basketball, but I know you're supposed to shoot it in the hoop.
Okay,
and
maybe
you can't
it
just
is.
Run without dribbling.
Yeah, maybe it is. That's true. All right.
All right. Back to honorable
I got another
mentions.
One.
Okay. I have another one too, but let's, well, listen, Mike, you got
yeah, I do.
One.
I do.
We'll go back around again.
All right. So I hate the fact that I'm going to butcher this guy's last name. It is.
Do it.
And his Instagram handle is his name. It is at John Koipoff.
Ooh, boy.
Now,
spell it for us.
Now, this project is, let's just say it's the amount of detail that went into this project is insane conceptually, and it also looks really, really cool. So I'm just going to read the description of his Instagram post because that's easiest. It says, this is my official Rockler Bentwood Challenge submission. This data visualization, which is what he's calling the project, includes 9 Corian discs.
Data.
Each disc represents 1 week of the challenge, each scaled to the number of Instagram submissions posted that week. The username wow. of every participant is engraved onto the top of the disc. There are 3 oak pillars, one for each member of the Modern Maker podcast. Rockler promotes sustainable forestry and has planted nearly 50,000 trees since 2001. The glass tube holds approximately 1,200 seeds, one seed for every Instagram submission. The full build video will be available on YouTube, so everybody go and check that out. One more time, at John Koipoff, and I'm going to spell that because I know I didn't say it right, JohnKuiPhoff.
Yeah, John's wow. a great guy. I met him at the Workbench Con.
I had just seen it and was like, oh, that looks cool.
Right.
But now hearing all of that, like, that's amazing.
Conceptually and... as a finished project. It's just amazing. It's insanity.
Yeah. You know, I'm changing it. So what we read before was actually numbers 11 through 4 in no particular order. And this goes now in the no particular order of 11
I agree,
through
right?
4.
I know. I should have fought harder for this project because it really is so cool. And the video is edited incredibly well. His YouTube channel doesn't have the biggest audience, but the quality of the content he's making is off the charts. So go find him on YouTube and give him a subscribe.
Yeah, I mean, I have not seen the video yet. Like I saw his post that where he put the build video is now available on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to go check it out tonight. I mean, just the amount of thought that he put into that, I would assume that like the video is going to be good just because you wouldn't be like, let me put all this thought into the thing and here's my GoPro
for
one shot long.
For context, in terms of the creativity on the video, He started his episode with our theme song, but then wrote a transition that basically took our theme song. He wrote a transition for like the actual music in the video. So it flowed continuously.
Man, this guy's a 110%.
That's exactly.
Like some people out there are 90%ers. It's like, I'll do 90% of the work and then I'll kind of phone it in at the end. This guy's giving you an extra 10%.
Now, I don't know, but if I had to guess, I would say he's a exactly 100% type of guy.
That's
because
true.
You can't give more
accurate.
Than 100.
He'd be like, technically, that's impossible. So,
that's what I'm expecting. 100%. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't know you guys had met, Ben.
Yeah. He was at WorkbenchCon. And he also did these really cool data visualization things with, he made these graphics with tree rings.
Oh, I remember that.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
As I said, I'm sure we all
I've
met him.
I've got it right
but,
here
like,
on
know.
My desk.
Yeah.
I can't believe
holy,
that.
What the heck?
Well, his,
what are the chances of that?
That's so funny. Well, his name is on the back of it. And
yeah, but
you're like,
yeah,
John
reading.
Koipoff, this sounds familiar. Oh, I'm talking about him right now.
That's why it's so familiar. Oh my goodness. Well,
what a small
John,
world.
Thank you again. This
yeah,
is
seriously.
I got to say, what a project, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's thinking through some stuff. So very impressed.
All right.
Some more honorable mentions.
I got one. It's by Black Timber Company. And this is like, I love this application of woodworking to another hobby. So
okay.
he made a
was
net
this the,
for fly
the
fishing.
Fish catcher? Okay. Yeah.
And it's so cool. Because if you're going to do one of these like hobbies that's, I don't know, like very old worldy, like is what I always imagine fly fishing to be, like a very scenic pastoral setting. like you hand tie your flies. Like it's purposefully a pursuit where you're not trying to do it in carbon fiber necessarily or the most efficient ways. Although I'm sure there are people that do it in a really high tech way.
You're not looking for the domino of whatever industry is.
So he made this just beautiful fly fishing net, but it's not too decadent. It's not trying to look old world. Like he brought in this, like, I can't remember the name of those like cones or the Banksy pods. And then, but he filled the voids of that with a, like a turquoise total boat epoxy. And it looks both classic and space age at the same time.
Super clean.
Got that classic space age aesthetic that the fish love.
Hey, I mean, I think it makes sense, right? Because people have been making space age things for long enough that it does have a classic look.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's classic space age right there.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought it was awesome.
From the beginning days. Yep. All right. I have another honorable mention. Now, this one did not qualify for winning because he didn't finish it. But he started this. So this is Engstrom Designs, and he did that like butterfly credenza thing.
Yeah.
Very early on in the competition, he like had rendered the project out, and I'm sure it was a huge project that he was working on, and he just couldn't get it done in time. But he did a really good job of documenting the process through Instagram. So it's definitely worth going to check that out and continuing to follow it, because I'm assuming that he's not going to be like, well, I got 85% of the way, I'll just quit there since it's after October 31st. Sure, he'll finish it off. But like, obviously it's impossible to say. I have a feeling this would have been my favorite project this would have been my number one had it been completed in time and we could see the finished thing, because the renders were awesome.
Yeah.
Like watching him build it, it looks like he's executing it well. I know he like had a few little stumbling blocks along the way, but like overcame them and it's coming out great. So I can't wait to see it finish.
Yeah. I remember how excited you were when you saw, like you sent us the renderings. Like immediately when you saw him. So I agree. If his project was done, we probably would have been fighting you. Well, we probably all would have agreed that it was top three.
Yeah, I think so.
But regardless, I know you would have been fighting for it. I'm excited to see it done.
I'd have been like, I'll arm wrestle you, bro. Yeah. We're putting this in the top three.
Heroic effort.
Right. And still, finish the project and we'll give it a share whenever it's done.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. It'll be Chris's obsession. I know that.
Yep. I'll do it 4 weeks in a row just to be nice. That's my promise to you.
All right, guys. Well, I got one more honorable mention. I don't know if we're going to do another round of this, but I got to make sure and get this one in. And I sent you guys this one on Instagram just in case, because I remember that I hadn't sent you guys photos of it before. And it is from Robin Lewis, who has been in the maker scene making YouTube videos for a really long time. We almost started around the same time, actually. On Instagram, he is at Robin, R-O-B-I-N, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, makes, M-A-K-E-S. Mm-hmm. And he bent wood to create a really nice armchair. And it was one of those things where I know me and Robin sort of come from a similar background where we both kind of got started in the classic DIY approach in terms of doing a bunch of reclaimed material, a lot of sort of construction materials and that sort of project. But this one is, I mean, I hate to be the guy to say it, but I think this is proper woodworking. This is some real deal stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's a really nice
super legit
chair. Yeah. And if you look at it from just the right angle, the two leg/armrests kind of look like McDonald's.
Wow. They kind of do.
Making me hungry. It's got that golden arch.
Yeah. And what I really liked about this project, and this was actually something that I commented on him about, I really liked the way he made the boards where that the slats for the chair actually lock into. There's basically positive stops, making sure all of the spacing is consistent throughout the chair. And, you know, it's not
so
the
it's
most...
It's kind of like a bent Nelson bench.
That's exactly it.
Type of construction.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of a Nelson bench in construction. But anyways, I thought it looked great. And it was really cool how he did a lot of bending for the base as well as bending for the seat. Like we were shouting out projects earlier where it was sort of the opposite of that, like a really square base, but a bent chair. But I think it's just as cool the fact that pretty much every element of this project is bent.
Indeed. All right. So yeah,
one last one.
Okay. One last one.
All right.
Because we'll go forever.
This is a wild one. And I wanted to shout this one out because it wasn't one that I saw until very recently. It's by a guy named Dan Riepel, R-I-E-P-L-E. You know what? We'll repost these on the Modern Maker Podcast Instagram account.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sent it to you guys in the chat. It's wild. He didn't just like he created like this like pattern of like shingled end grain of like cookies or logs, and then like bent that whole plane and then worked with like a live edge piece and some sticks and then threw a backgammon board on it. It's incredible.
There's a lot going on.
It's like
there.
If Salvador Dali like took some acid and then did woodworking.
Yeah, this was another one of those ones. Like I remember seeing it and I was like, was this for the, like, there's just so much going on. It seems like a guy that like has a business where he makes all of these things or something, like these just like crazy bent slash rustic slash backgammon slash scaly slash.
Yeah, I checked out his website. His website's called fine-ideas.com. And this guy is like a super legit like artisan woodworker.
Right.
Yeah, just incredible.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like I'm looking at his webpage right now and it's one of those things where like, you know, if I stay in the same path that I'm on right now, right? Even if I continue to get better, like it'll always be like, oh, what kind of furniture does he make? And you could just be like, mid-century modern inspired stuff, angular, whatever. You can't even like describe what this, like it's just completely his own style.
Yeah, it's sort of alien and it's rustic alien in a way.
Okay.
Yeah, and like a lot of like organic and like things that are reminiscent of like flowers and tree vines and all that kind of stuff. Like it's completely his own thing that he has going and it's awesome looking.
Okay, you know what the best part of it is? On his website, he has a picture of Morgan Freeman playing backgammon at this table.
No way. Okay, give me a minute. I've got to find this.
Hey, can I tell you guys something? I don't even know the rules of backgammon.
I don't either. And that's so you're
true.
Good on that
that's
one.
That's true. I don't even know. Does it use checker puck things or cards? What do you do?
Ben, what do you got, my man?
Are you hitting stuff? Is there a physical element to
it's
it?
It's like no checkers clue. With dice.
I'm in.
So yeah.
You had me at like checkers.
On his website, he has links to a Flickr page, which has the process images of it. And it looks like he used staghorn for the handles and made the backgammon chips out of like slices of like some animal horn.
Wow. I don't know how this project sort of escaped me, because if I saw this, I know for a fact I would remember it because it's so unique. And I'm looking through the Flickr gallery right now. And he did a great job of sort of like chronicling all the steps, man. And I'm just excited to see Morgan Freeman now, because I'm kind of scrolling slowly because I'm sort of trying to absorb as much of this as possible.
Yeah, the website's a little tricky to navigate. If you go to profile, he wears a beret like nobody's business. Not Morgan Freeman, Dan Reiple. But he's a hell of a woodworker.
What a guy. Holy cow. You're not kidding.
All right. Should we get into
top three? I've got one more. I'm sorry. I've got one more.
Oh, boy. And this is never going
to
end.
I meant for this to be my first honorable mention because I hate the fact that our number one homie, Mike Clifford from Industrial Maker, was not in the list of 4 through 10. And
well, are we expanding to 12?
Listen, Chris, we can't keep changing the rules. But he made a curved LED pendant lamp. So he basically steam bent a lot of wood into sort of snake and S patterns and then sort of combined them together to create a chandelier pendant fixture. It looked really, really awesome. And I want to give Mike particularly a really big shout out because he was bending wood for his project basically the week before me, or at least he was doing his initial tests. And even though our projects are completely different, he did a lamp, I did a coffee table. He helped me a ton with making sure I was sort of doing things the right way, just for lack of better terms. I had a couple of errors early on, and the solution, which ended up being the fact that I needed to create more heat in my box, he was the person that made that very evident and sort of told me a couple fixes to get my steam bending box going right. So if you're not already subscribed to Modustrial Maker, Modustrial Maker, you absolutely should be. And it is an honorable mention, but this project is still dope. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to, no shade thrown whatsoever. It was an awesome project and Mike's an amazing dude.
Yeah, I think he did a good job of like getting in there so early and kind of being the guinea pig for steam bending for a lot of people. He did a really good job documenting all of the struggles that he had. I don't remember if they were in the YouTube video or if it was just in Instagram stories, and I'm not sure if he had saved them all. He seems like the kind of guy that would have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember watching him like right in the beginning of the competition being like, I broke him again. What about this? What about this?
Pretty much.
And then that was when it ended up being like the skateboard wheels thing ended up being his solution.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he went through like the whole process of trying
the bag.
I was about to say, he went through the whole process of like soaking them, keep them in the in the trash bag, everything. So make sure and check out his video if you haven't done steam bending, but you're going to, because Yeah, he sort of ran the gambit for everyone else.
Yeah, it's a good what not to do until you get it right, and then just do the last thing that he did.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, one more big shout out, Mike. You're the man.
Yeah. Also, I believe he put together a playlist with all the people who made YouTube videos with Rockler Bentwood Challenge. So yeah. If you want to check them all out in one place, we'll find a link to his and we'll put that up so everyone can check it out.
Absolutely.
Just let him play through the night.
I love it. Okay. So can we agree? No more honorable mentions.
I'm sure I could think of more, but I know we'll go on forever if we do. So
I just want to make sure everyone's okay. Just making sure there's no more like burning shout outs.
Let's get to the...
There's always more, yeah, but we're already like 50 minutes deep. So...
Drum roll, please.
Okay, let me...
Chris, you will start off with number three.
Yes, number three. Let me pull up my list real quick so that we can look at things as we describe. Okay. So, number three. Keep that drum roll going.
Okay.
So, this one comes from Brian at Bike City Woodworks.
Boom.
And he made a lamp. And again, I was talking about this before, like the subtlety, a very subtle curved aspect to it, but something that you can still definitely see. And so essentially it's a lamp and what do you call it? Kumiko, where it's like all the fine little like pieces of wood that they cut. And then, so I guess, I don't know, lamp, lantern, I don't know what you'd call it, but basically it's a square one of those with then these like twisted pieces of wood. So that was the part that was the bent element.
Yeah.
That go up the four corners of
it. Right.
It's really elegant, modern, Japanese-ish looking, I would describe it as. And he did a really good job in his video also of like going through like the design elements. Like he was even talking about normally he would design this or he would start his designs in CAD, but because, you know, most of us don't know how to do, or in SketchUp, doing organic shapes is a lot harder than doing straight shapes. So he reverted back to just drawing.
Oh, cool.
In order to like make his twists, he used PVC pipe to bend around. And like, it was pretty cool. Like it was, so it's like very just like take this thing off the shelf and do it, but like still mathematical in the way that he did it, where he basically measured out so that he could get a perfect 180 degree twist going up the length of his PVC pipe.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a really good video, really cool project, very subtle, but still definitely has, you know, elements of bent wood in it. And I was really impressed with it and really liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was sort of that Japanese tea. What do you call the, it's a paper lantern, but it's got that Japanese tea room vibe where it's almost like those room dividers where they're very sheer. Semi-opaque, and where all the wood profiles are just so thin, you feel like if it gets like too windy outside, it might all blow over.
I feel like Ben's just gonna let us here just sit here and let us stick our foots in our mouths.
Talk about Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about Japanese culture.
Well, when you said elegant and Japanese-ish, I thought you were talking about me, but
not quite.
No, I love this project. I really like, again, the contrast between the twisty, curvy parts and the orthogonal parts. It keeps it from looking like a twisted knot. It just, there's like a cleanness to it that makes you really appreciate the curved accents.
And you said it too, Chris. I really love the fact that, one, the project itself is beautiful outside of the challenge, but the way he incorporated the bent wood was so understated. It wasn't in your face. It wasn't over the top.
Right.
But it was perfectly executed. You know what I mean? It wasn't tucked in the background and sloppy. It was almost tucked in the background, but done perfect, which I really appreciate because it's cool when people do a technique or try something new. But then a lot of people, I mean, I do this regularly, is whenever I find a new technique or something new to try, I kind of like slap people in the face with it too much. But this one's so reserved. I think it's really awesome.
Right. Yeah. And I won't repeat it because, yeah, we kind of talked about all of that before, but I think that was what made it stick out to me in a way, like in a sea of projects that are so bent to show the restraint and to be subtle, made it really stand out.
Agreed.
Yeah. And the technique of how he did it is also really cool.
All right. Should we move on to number two? Who's going to introduce that one? Here, I'll do the drum roll for this one. Ready?
I'm going to give it away with the first sentence. This is an amazing project.
Ooh, I already know.
By our good buddy Mortgage and Miter.
That's right. Chris Crawford. Yeah.
Chris Crawford with a K.
Just a really clean, thin chair. What I love so much about this one is that the wood version of this style chair is thinner and more elegant than the plastic and metal versions. Like normally when you do the wood version, it has to be a little bit heavier for structural reasons and all this stuff. This one's so clean and so thin and crisp. it's just a fantastic project, really well executed, functional, but then looks way more elevated and high end than any sort of metal and plastic or carbon fiber chair.
Right.
Yeah. And I like the way that like he used the different, the contrasting woods to kind of like be indicative of like the way that there would be the cushion or whatever, even on like a thin office chair.
Right.
And I give it an A, EH.
Oh, I see what you're doing there, eh?
An A plus.
Yeah. Okay. That was badoosh.
You hoser.
There we go. That one fell pretty flat, but I see where you're going, Chris.
I came up with it while I was talking, in fairness. I was not sitting on this the whole episode.
All right, cool. No, I love the fact that even the base outside of the hydraulic lift and the wheels are also wood. I knew Chris was making an office chair before it was finished, but my entire expectation was some sort of metal base, you know, completely metal base, as if he like, you know, robbed the base off of an existing chair and then bent the chair body and then slapped that on top of it. But no, he went all the way and made everything that could be wood or out of wood. You know, obviously, like we were joking earlier, you probably don't want wooden wheels and you probably don't want some sort of hydraulic lift made out of wood. So those two elements are totally passable for being other materials. But I love the fact that he went as far as he did with all the wooden components.
Yeah. And I think this is one like you really have to go look at the little details of it.
Because
when you look at it from far away, it's like, okay, yeah, office chair. But then like when you just look at like the detail, like the pillowing of, you know, the armrests.
Yeah.
And even the seat, like it's a very subtle curve.
Mm-hmm.
But if it would have been any more curved or flat, it wouldn't have looked right.
Right. And it's
and probably wouldn't have felt right either.
Yeah. And it's those, and it's like those, they're basically, they kind of look like dado joints or rabbit joints, the way that the pillowing on the armrests meets the frame.
Right.
Everything how, like, sort of locks together so smoothly and cleanly.
Yeah. It's like it makes the wood look comfortable in a weird way.
I know. I'm curious to know if this is what he's using every day in his office. And if he is, how well is it holding up, or how comfortable is it?
He's like, oh, I've broken it 12 times.
Right. He's like, I'm using it every day. My back has never felt worse.
I can't walk.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I bet it's got plenty of lumbar support, you know?
Got that lumbar, baby.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Definitely a top three project. No doubt.
Project.
All right, guys.
Get it right. All right, number one. Yeah, this is Mike. Do you want me to give you a drum
roll? Yeah, Ben, can you hop in on that drum roll?
Double drum roll. Here we go.
Coming in at number one for the Rockler Bent Wood Challenge 2019 is Komar Project.
With a bike.
With a bent laminated bike.
Like
a
low-rider bike.
Yeah, you just said it, Chris. Like a low-rider bike. It is absolutely insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and introduce the project, and then I want to hear what you guys think about it, because I've got plenty of thoughts. So the way he did it is he made the complete frame for this low-rider cruiser bike out of bent lamination of like dark walnut strips, and I don't know the light colored wood, but it looked like something like maple or something like that. So he bent all the wood for the frame of this. But the really genius idea, similar to sort of what Chris did with his project, is he robbed all of the connection points from the metal frame. So where the handlebars meet the rest of the frame and the handlebars have to pivot and all that sort of stuff, he robbed the smallest possible section of that metal frame. And then he used that to interlock all of his wooden joints, so that it still functions really, really well as a rideable bike, but it uses as much, you know, bent wood as possible. And he did a really good job of disguising all those metal parts by painting it the exact same color as the wood, so they almost completely disappear.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris. Yeah.
I was going to say, so it's one of those things where, like, if you just made a bike out of wood, it'd be impressive. If you just made this bike out of anything, like just looking at like the shape and the silhouette of it, again, it would be impressive. Yeah. And then you marry those two things together. It kind of felt like one of those projects that was like, it was very easy to choose a number one. I will say,
it
when we
unanimous.
Discussed this. Yeah, it's like one person brought it up and we're like, yeah, that's the number one. Like, it's just so well executed from a technical point of view, from an aesthetic point of view. Like, everything just hits perfectly.
And it's not a normal bike. It's like a custom kind of cool cruiser bike.
No joke. That wood, that bike out of metal would already be cool, let alone the fact that he made it out of wood.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, and I want to correct something that I said earlier. There was a couple of little parts of the bike that, because I've watched the video, I've looked at a bunch of this, where I thought he actually painted a portion of the metal bracket to match the wood, but he actually made wood to cover the metal portions of the frame that he used to disguise it, which is even further than I thought that he took it originally. So shout out. He even made wooden pieces to go onto the footrests where you pedal. So yeah, I don't want to keep gassing. His name is Bart Komar. I don't want to keep gassing Bart up, but he really did kill it. I think this is the epitome of what this whole challenge was. It's not completely wood, which I think a lot of people might have gotten hung up on. And that was why we were really right. clear saying, hey, if you want to mix materials, if you want to bring some other incorporated elements, we support that wholeheartedly. But this is just the encapsulation of something incredibly creative, and something that he was mentioning in his YouTube video yeah. is this was the first time that he bent wood. And to do this,
that's insane.
The first time that he bent wood,
makes you want to quit.
Dude, no joke, it does. It makes you just want to be like, all right, I think I'm done. I'm good, you know? Or I'm not good, because this is good. If this is good, I'm nowhere close. And so,
he
yeah.
also did such a good job documenting the entire thing.
Agreed.
Like, go look at his Instagram. He's got a bunch of videos. He's got a bunch of carousel images that he uploaded. I don't know what the video is at right now. I think it's like, I don't know, 14,000 views or something like that, which that's an injustice.
Yeah, absolutely.
That hopefully will, you know, when we, if people look at or hearing this in 6 months from now and they look at it, I want this thing to have like 5 million views.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like this is an insane project. I mean, we said we felt like we were going to see some mind-blowing things when we kicked off this challenge, and this lived up to that expectation.
Yeah, I've seen wood bicycles before. And most of the time when I see wood bicycles, it means that just the center part of the frame is wood. And then it uses, right. you know, metal front forks, metal handlebars. Nope. He made wooden forks. He made the handlebars. But I think my favorite part where I went from like, oh, this is cool, to like, wow, is the way he did the part that supports the back wheel, where he went much wider and then that kind of intersects. So it isn't like this simple frame, but it's actually almost like a bent board. And then the main part of the frame like fits into it, almost like a motorcycle or something a little bit wider than a typical tube steel bicycle frame.
Yeah.
That gives it aesthetically, it just gives it more of like an old school motorcycle kind of feel with the sort of three-dimensionalness of it. So it's not just like this like silhouette, which is kind of easier to imagine a bent wood if you just draw the lines, like, okay, I'll bend a wood to this. It's that three-dimensional aspect, but still being sculptural with it, that I thought was incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I think that's actually something important to say for if you haven't seen this yet. Like, so I don't know a lot about bikes. So I, excuse me, I don't know if this is like a style of frame that already exists or whatever, but it does not look like a regular bike at all. Like, it is much more motorcycle ish like you were saying, like the way that the top bar of the frame kind of curves up, it would be sort of reminiscent of like where a gas tank on a motorcycle would be. It's a very different shape,
dude. It's over the top in every way, but in a good way, you know what I mean?
Those orange wheels.
Yeah. Ooh, exactly,
baby.
Even that,
those things pop.
Yeah. So once again, at KOMAR project, depending on where you're at, what,
you're north of the border.
Yeah, another really awesome, it was an awesome find. I wasn't following Bart prior to him working on this project. This was sort of my first exposure to him. He's got a real weird personality, and I don't think he'll take offense to that. He's a pretty crazy dude, and it's awesome. He's building really, really amazing things. And he does projects that seem like if I came up with it, I would say, oh, it's a cool idea, but that would take way too long. But yeah, he constantly sort of takes on projects that are that way. And so, mad respect. One more time, KOMAR. PROJECT. Congratulations. You are our winner for
the
Rockler Bentwood Challenge. That's amazing, right? Let's clap it out, guys. All three of us. Here we go.
Here we go.
Just insanity.
Legitimately.
So cool. You know, Mike,
thank you guys for participating. Like, I learned so, you know what's different? In the plywood challenge, I learned a lot of design ideas. Or I got a lot of inspiration for ways to break down a sheet of plywood and ideas for what you could do with it. This one, I felt like I learned more because I learned so many different techniques and strategies and stuff like that. So this was a masterclass in bending wood. And yeah, it was fun and educational.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, Mike, you actually brought up a good point when you were talking about Komar projects just 30 seconds ago. Every time we've done one of these challenges, it's brought new people onto our radar, people that we've, you know, become friends with or just like followed and watched to see what they've done. And I think that's happened again here for sure.
Absolutely.
Like you were just saying with him, like, I can't wait to see what other crazy thing this guy builds next. So yeah, it was another great challenge. Definitely want to not wait as long to do the next one. There was, seemed like there was a big span between this one and the last one, but yeah, it was awesome.
So to all,
you guys didn't disappoint.
So all the listeners that didn't participate in this one, we really do genuinely hope that this was maybe the kick in the pants to be a part of the next challenge. And beyond that, we want the listeners to be a part of choosing what the next challenge is. Before we chose the Bent Wood Challenge, we were deliberating between a few ideas, but we want to hear what you guys think is the next best Modern Maker Podcast challenge that sort of does what we've been trying to do with our other challenges. Get people to try new things, get out of maybe the creative rut or the creative box that they've been in for the past little while, and just try something new and sort of gather new experiences. So if you've got an idea you think will work, hit us up on Instagram. I am at Modern Builds. Ben is at Benjamin Ueda, U-Y-E-D-A. And Chris is at Four Eyes Furniture. If you've got something that you think could be the fourth Modern Maker Challenge, let us know. Because like you just said, Chris, we want to do the next one sooner than later, right?
For sure. It was too long last time. Is that less weird?
No, that was perfect. Okay. Just so the listeners know, we edited.
Yeah, I'm not a weirdo.
Yeah, we edited a little section where Chris said that last section a little weird. So he went over the top.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Or let's shoot for maybe springtime, a nice springtime. The weather's getting warm. People want to make some projects and make some videos.
That is a good idea. Springtime project. So if you've got something that lends itself well to the weather turning nice for the majority of people, let us know, right?
There you go. Or if you got one for the weather turning bad, whatever. We take all suggestions equally. All right, let's send it home.
Already, man? I don't want to. This has been a great episode. Right? I've had a lot of fun on this show.
Yeah, hopefully people enjoy listening to it. Again, go check out our Instagram. We will post everything that we talked about in order.
Yeah.
So all of the, you know, did it end up being 11? No, 10 through 4.
Honorable
in
mentions.
No particular order, the honorable mentions, and then of course 3, 2, 1.
And we're going to find that playlist that Modustral Maker, Mike Clifford made, and we'll make sure and share that link as well.
Yeah, we'll link it in our bio.
Because it was the thing, man. I don't know if you guys are the same way, but I binged Challenge YouTube videos multiple occasions, and I still don't know if I've seen everything. Each time I dig, I find more videos.
Right. I'm sure there are things that are still going to be coming up just because, like, you didn't have to do the video to enter your thing.
Right.
So I'm sure there are people that got their project done and are still going to be working on the video. Yeah. And even with, like, the old, like, keep following the hashtag, people still post to the plywood.
They do.
Hashtag.
Cool projects,
so
as
it's
well.
Not like it's something that just ends.
Yeah. People post real cool stuff to that hashtag. So stay following that. And I think we should go ahead and just say, for anybody that was curious, not everybody made YouTube videos, not everybody made functional things, not everybody made furniture. We tried our best to pick a diverse set of projects to highlight. The three of us all came in with about a dozen projects that we were all happy being in the top 10. And so we sort of found the projects that had the most crossover between the three of us, and then we sort of hashed it out for the last couple spots. But there was quite a few projects that you know, were on one or two of our lists, but sort of got beat out there at the end or whatever. So we appreciate everybody's entry. Everybody's effort was just insane. Can't believe it all went so well.
Yeah.
And
our judgments are not a definitive indication of quality or deservedness or anything else. They're just the random musings of three idiots that just are just overwhelmed by all the great stuff that this community has produced. So, you know, And like I said at the beginning, like these projects are so much deserving of, I mean, shout out to Rockler, really awesome prizes. Definitely, you know, some nice gift cards. I don't think anyone's going to have a hard time using those credits at Rockler, but relative to the amount of labor and hours of work that went into these projects, like they are their own reward. So
absolutely.
If we didn't mention you, don't worry. I'm sure your work's amazing, and these things are going to live on. The plywood challenge projects are still getting views. People are still using bringing them up whenever I talk to random woodworkers about plywood, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I actually saw this idea from that." So, you know, the hashtags will live on, and they're a great reference to all of us when we're trying to think with how can I add some curves to this woodworking?
Yeah, now there's a breadth of content out there showing a lot of different techniques. So Thank you again, everybody. Ben, you really said it better than I could have. So let's send it to the closing. Y'all ready?
Break it down.
Thanks. What was that?
Y'all ready for this?
All right. So thanks a ton, everybody, for listening every week, whether that's in your workshop or on your way to work. We appreciate you making us a part of your routine. If you're not already, you should be following us on Instagram. Chris is at Four Eyes Furniture. Ben is at Benjamin Ueda, and I am at Modern Builds. You can find us collectively at Modern Maker Podcast. Shoot us some challenge ideas. Shoot us some topic ideas. We're always down to hear more about what you have to say. Speaking of that, if you got some things to say to the public about our podcast, go to the iTunes app where you're listening to this show, if you are listening on the iTunes app, and give it a review if you don't mind. 5 stars is amazing. Really, all it does is just let the app know that we're a good show and that they should suggest us to other listeners listening to similar content. So thanks again, everybody. Y'all are amazing. And until the next challenge, this has been the Modern Maker Podcast. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.